Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. Lottie and I are continuing the Rebels rewatch. Now, the following episodes were pre-recorded this past summer. We are now posting all of Season 1 here on Star Wars Hangout. If you have thoughts on Rebels Season 2, get those transmissions in ASAP, and we'll feature you on the show. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to our Rebel Rewatch. I have Lottie with me. How you doing, sweetie?
Very good. We just came back from our trip on this weekend.
Yeah.
We went to Universal Studios in Orlando.
We did. Yes,
that
we
was
did.
So much fun. And as it is with all the trips you go on, I'm always struggling. I want to be there in the moment, but also want to take pictures and videos.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always grateful when I took a lot of pictures and videos to look back on and to just immerse myself in the moment again. And yeah, you kind of have to find that balance of experiencing it, you know, in the moment and taking the picture or the video.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are you?
I am great. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because, yeah, we had a great weekend, other than me having a splitting headache, a force migraine.
That was scary.
That was crazy. that was wild. But, yeah, we just had a great time, and we got to walk around the Wizarding World, and we got to go to Hogsmeade. We got to go to Diagon Alley, ride rides. We got to see the new Secrets of Dumbledore movie, by the way. That was
yes.
A lot of fun. So, yeah, I'll just go ahead and mention it here, friends. If you have a chance, go check out our little podcast. It's kind of a podcast where we talk about Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, Wizarding World stuff, maybe BBC, British films, anything and everything Harry Potter and beyond. And it's called Shell Cottage Radio. If you guys want to, go check it out over there, Shell Cottage Radio. We actually just covered the Secrets of Dumbledore over there. So Lottie's been working hard on that. And then over at Fleur and Bill over on Instagram, you can check out her little reel you did the other day, which was really, was that this morning? It was this morning. You did that. It was super sweet, super cute. Just us being kids again, you know, just getting back into it and just nerding out. It's just a lot of fun. So anyway, but she has been so gracious and so kind to pop on here and just really, you have been, to entertain me and to do this Rebels rewatch with me, because it's just something that I want to do, and I've been wanting to do for like a while, and it's just good to do it with you, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun because I'm working with a master, and it's so quick, everything's set up and you take care of all the technology, so okay. I just have to sit here and talk. That's very convenient for me, so.
Sweetie, you're making me laugh. That's why they call me the friendly tech wizard, okay? This is why they call.
Because you are.
I try to be friendly, and I try to be techie, and I'm always working on it. There's always, you know, with technology, there's always more things to find and figure out, so definitely, you know, working on all that, but yeah, also, we'll leave a link down in the description so you guys can, I almost conjured up the giggle fest over there.
Don't mention it.
If I misspeak here or there and she just sends her into a giggle fit. You actually get on the most recent episode of Shell Cottage Radio, you guys can hear that, and absolutely, I don't cut any of that stuff out. I'm just like, we gotta roll with it, you know? Gotta roll with it.
Oh, it was bad, and it was glorious.
It was great. It was great. I mean, 5 minutes later, you were still laughing, and I don't know how. You know, it was like giggle water or something you were drinking. But anyways, I'll leave a link below in the description. You guys can go check that out if you would like. And also, don't forget, Matt and I later tonight we'll be on for Elder Wand podcast, where we're going to talk about the secrets of Dumbledore as well. And I'm interested to hear what he has to say about it. I think he'll have a completely different take. Then maybe I had, we'll see. It's not been a big favorite of his. But, all right, friends, Enough of that, though. Let's dive in to, this is episode 5, Rise of the Old Masters, which the title alone is just, is awesome. The Rise of the Old Masters. I think it's, like, instantly for me, there's this curious sort of like, huh? The Old Masters, I thought they were dead. Mm-hmm. Order 66, like they should not be around. And yet here we have an episode where we're going to go explore some of them. So Ezra starts off his Jedi training. He's working on it. He's struggling. Kanan is also kind of struggling in his role as a teacher, his role as a master. They discover an underground transmission reporting that states that Jedi Master Luminara is still alive, that she survived Order 66, and that she's being held in a high-security prison. It's pronounced Stegon Prison, I think, something like that, is where they're... I like to try to mention those things because, like, there's so many different planets and worlds and places in Star Wars that I always love to just mention the really obscure places. But anyway...
It might be a question that one day will come up in a trivia...
It could.
Trivia.
It really could. I mean, that's I'm always, sweetie, that's what I'm always training for. I'm always training for some, like, some trivia competition that's all Star Wars where our lives hang in the balance and I have to know every.
I think you should sign up for one.
Answer. Maybe at some point I will. I don't know as much as a lot of folks, but I like to dabble and I like to dive deep into some of it. So anyway, but yeah. They hear about this and they decide we have to go check into it, like if she's still alive. Kanan is thinking, hey, Master Luminara could probably help me train Ezra. And Ezra sees it as Kanan wants to pawn him off on this old master or whatever. So they show up. They're actually, Luminara, we find out, is used as bait. And the Grand Inquisitor is there and has laid a trap for these Jedi. So they have to work together. They kind of are able to get away from the Grand Inquisitor, make a run for it, and then at the end, they, you know, kind of Kanan and Ezra sit down, and he starts throwing stones at Ezra with his lightsaber, and all is well between master and apprentice for now, all is well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So that's just a quick little summary of the rise of the old masters. Sweetie, I guess just initial thoughts. What did you think? New episode. It's episode mm-hmm. 5. How are you feeling about Rebels?
I thought it was this episode was very relatable as a teacher, but really for everyone, whether you're a parent, a guardian, a friend, and it had some really good lessons that we're going to talk about here in a second. So, I liked that episode.
Yeah, it was cool. You're right about the teacher connection because it's sort of like, yeah, am I good enough to do this? I mean, what can I offer to someone else? I think even sometimes as a content creator or a podcaster or just in general, like a parent, right? Mm-hmm. What can I teach or how do I, you know, I don't know, like, am I able to do that? Am I doing enough? Is there more I could be doing? Could someone do it better? That's what we all deal with that.
Right.
And what's interesting, and I think as you watch the character of Kanan grow mm-hmm. and make progress as a master, we find out that we all have something to add, right? Each of us can pass on something.
Yeah.
Everyone can be a teacher and everyone can also be a student. And we sort of should seek those roles back and forth, you know? Like it's a good thing to continue. Like Master Yoda, late in his years, still should be learning. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
He's a great teacher, but much to learn he still has.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one still teaching like Luke Skywalker in the sequels and everything. So, you know, that I think that's really cool. And then so Kanan here being the master has a lot to learn. Ezra also has a lot to learn about being a student and even being an open mm-hmm. and good student, someone who wants to learn. That's there's like a slight little jab by Zeb in this episode mm-hmm. where he's sort of like he kind of tells Ezra like not that it's difficult to teach, meaning patience and focus and stuff like that. And Zeb says, he means you. You're difficult to teach.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, all right. So that's another thing to think about as a student. We put a lot of a burden on the teacher or the master to kind of pass on information to us. But we also have to be willing to receive it and
yes.
open and how we apply it and really want it and desire it. For it to really make a lasting connection, you
right.
have to kind of be an active learner and in, like, you know what I mean? Like locked in.
Right. And open to criticism.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, okay. So yeah, this, I guess, do you have any questions? And mm-hmm. you're allowed to say no. If you have no questions, that's also okay. We just dive into kind of a recap.
I do have a question noted down here, but before, I start with that, I just want to mention real quick that when you said teacher or, everyone is a teacher or everyone can be a teacher, that reminded me of something that I read before about listening, the skill of being a good listener. And they talked about how everyone, every single person can teach you something. You just have to find it and you just have to listen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And basically.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. Not even just that they have to be actively trying to teach, mm-hmm. but that we can learn from people
right.
just based upon who they are, right? Just experiences, that we our experience with that person. If you're open to it and if you listen, you can learn mm-hmm. something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also that a lot of parents, so we're in that late 20, early 30 age where a lot of my friends have kids now, and they all say we're the parents, we're supposed to be the teachers, but also our kids teach us so much every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they help us to see the world from a different perspective again.
Yeah, yeah, that, right. That's that whole sort of, you know, parent-child, student-teacher relationship is a learning from one another. They always say to be an effective teacher or like a Jedi master, you have to know your student. You have mm-hmm. to know your child. You have to know what their needs are. And everyone's different. They're all individuals with different wants, desires, interests, and all those things.
Right. So. And a lot of the learning, teaching, connection is about good communication. Mm-hmm. Because when Ezra, so when Kanan says he wants to seek out that, what's her name again?
Luminara.
Luminara.
Yeah. Master Luminara. Yeah.
Ezra feels abandoned, not worthy, while Kanan is really just wanting to find the best teacher for him.
Yep, right.
Or get him the best training. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we learned that's mm-hmm. because Kanan has a hard time with discipline himself.
Yeah.
And he struggles with his own image as a teacher of himself. Yeah.
Right. He's trying to pass on something that he hasn't quite figured out how to master mm-hmm. himself.
Yeah.
The Grand Inquisitor says that, you know, he lacks focus and attention, patience or whatever. Like it's something that he struggles with. And I forget where it happens, but there's like a line where Ezra says, well, then he's perfect for me. You know, he's almost yes. trying to like make this jab at Kanan.
Mm-hmm.
And Ezra's like, well, he's great. That's great. We're alike in that regard, and that's okay. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, with the sort of the teacher-student relationship is that, like, mm-hmm. you find things that you can bond over.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm not very good at that. I actually, with a lot of my students, it's like math. They come in, they struggle with math. I'm like, hey, me too. All right. Algebra 1, not so sure. I'm not really sure. Factoring, get out of here. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what's up. But, like, other things, interests, you know, whether it be something nerdy or I was president of a chess club, you know, whatever it might be, a sport or something. Yeah, it's just good to kind of know where you can make those connections.
Right. And you grow together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really cool. I think I did have you. I just thought of this. I had you write something down for me.
Yes.
Because I don't even need to read it because I was just. Gibberish kind of just thought would jog my memory actually. It wasn't a complete thought, but the complete thought is this. So when they start off, I always try to look for these things that in the episode are kind of a nod to other parts of the Star Wars timeline or other mm-hmm. works or whatever. So at the beginning of this, Chopper is given, I don't know what they are, like cartons or something, and he is throwing all of these cartons.
Oh, yeah, it looks trash, like milk or something.
Yeah, yeah, trash or garbage, something like that. And he's just throwing them at Ezra, and Ezra's trying to block them or deflect them or whatever. And at first, it's just a few.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally a nod to Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back, when Vader is standing on the side and Luke has his lightsaber out. He's thinking lightsaber duel, right? He's like, come at me, Vader. I've been holding my own.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Luke senses in the Force something being torn off of the wall behind him, and it's coming, and he turns and he swings. All right. You got it, Luke. The next thing, like Vader then sends like a toolbox at him. Boom. He's got that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sends another thing at him, and Luke's like, okay, kind of misses one of them hits him, but he gets the other one. So it's totally kind of this nod in this episode to that whole scene, because as it goes on, Vader just steps back doesn't even use his lightsaber anymore, and he uses the Force to just throw a ton of junk at him, just like Chopper was throwing all that different stuff, you know what I mean? And Luke actually gets sucked out that window. Ezra gets, you know, thrown off the ship or whatever and almost doesn't make it. Like, he's holding on. We see Luke Skywalker and Empire holding on as well. So I just thought it was a really cool nod. And again, this is why I love doing the rewatch. So many things like that happen. And in a rewatch, episode by episode, we get to kind of slow down and talk about them. So, yeah, that was just a sick little moment where, you know, it's just a training thing, but it's definitely a nod to Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And it connects to that. I don't remember who said it first, Ezra or Kanan, probably Kanan. Oh, yeah, Kanan, right. In that scene, he says there will always be distractions, and we have to learn to overcome them. And that's very true, because we're always in that mindset, hey, we just have to get this out of the way or that out of the way, and then life will be perfect.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we will always have things that distract us or that are not perfect.
Yeah.
And we just have to learn to deal with that and be happy with all these distractions.
Friends, I was going to say this. Ez is getting fired up over here, and Lottie knows why. I was going to tell you, we've had a lot going on in our lives and stuff, and we've been wanting to hit some goals, you know, do some stuff, and you sort of try to wait for the perfect day, and like today was not perfect for me. I was like, okay, we're starting today, and I left here this morning, and just, it was not. I don't know, for some reason, my head wasn't in the right place. Things weren't perfect at school. Stuff was just sort of all over the place, and I just was like, but that's, you know, what are you going to do? Stop? You're going to give up? You're going to stop right now and just say, okay, I got to wait for the next, I mean, tomorrow's going to be better. It'll be perfect tomorrow. No, it won't be. It never will be. I mean, sometimes you find better days than other days, and you might have a streak of those, but it's fighting through the days where it's tough and there are distractions and things like that. So that's literally what we are doing right now. we've kind of committed to, we had a couple things. We had just a couple family functions and then our trip and stuff like that. So we haven't had a chance to really, you know, hit the ground running with our content. But now we've got like a solid goal in mind and we are really just going at it, hammering it. and it's just great. So
yeah,
good point there, sweetie. Okay. Now let's see here. Other big takeaways in this. So Master Luminara, by the way, you may not remember who this is. Because I know you've only seen the main films 1, 2, and 3. 4, 5, and 6 is what Lottie has seen so far. But Master Luminara is actually in, I want to say, she's in the Attack of the Clones. I think that's where we see her in live action. She's definitely in the Clone Wars episodes, which is an animated series, which you haven't really seen that. I'm trying to remember if she was in episode 1 as a member of the council. I don't think she was. But either way, she's only seen like once or twice on the council seat. And then she's seen at the Battle of Geonosis, where all the Jedi show up and there's like the battle with them and the droids. So just to kind of remind you of who that is. And for folks who are listening, that's who we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. She's a really strong and powerful master. She is, let's see. She had command of the 41st Elite Corp in the Grand Army of the Republic and was a master of Padawan Barriss Offee. So this is all stuff we'll talk about later. All right, sweetie, we'll go into like who these people are. But I think some people like to know who was her student, right? So she was a master. She had a student, a Padawan named Barriss Offee. And there's a lot of theories around that in particular, that Padawan. Where is she? Who is she? Did she survive Order 66? All these different things. So that's a story for another time. But she's a great master, and Kanan knows her.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode, Kanan's master, Depa Balaba, is mentioned, which was huge. Okay, so Mace Windu, do you remember him? Mace Windu had the purple lightsaber. He was the one. Yeah. He's Samuel L. Jackson plays.
He turned bad, right?
No. He didn't really turn bad. I mean, he was fighting. He was fighting Emperor Palpatine with the red. So it was red lightsaber versus purple lightsaber. Mm-hmm. It's in episode 3. So like,
yep.
Yeah. He's on the council. Like, he's next to Yoda. He sits next to Yoda.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I remember him.
Yeah. Anyways. So he's a really strong individual, like number 2 on the council, if you will, right behind Yoda. Yeah.
Yeah. Who was the one then who betrayed the Jedi? Maybe
Anakin? You mean like
Anakin? No. I can't remember.
It's okay. What?
with with the clones and the clone army. Mm-hmm. Was that?
Oh, Count Dooku.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
Count Dooku. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. No, good call. Yeah, he was once a Jedi. Let's go, sweetie.
That's okay. Good. Yeah, I got it mixed up with.
With Mace Windu. That's okay. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. No. No. Mace Windu has, and you just look him up on your phone real quick if you want to, just to look him up. So Mace Windu, and as soon as you see him, you'll remember who he is. But his apprentice was Depa Balaba. And she is in episode one. I think she's in two. She's in all the episodes, clear up until three. She's actually even in an animated series called The Bad Batch, season one. And we see her training. We see her training Kanan Jarrus or Caleb Doom. Yeah, you're smiling. What's
up? Because Google instantly says you have the about section. Yeah. And it says a grim Jedi master with an amethyst bladed lightsaber.
Yeah. He was.
Mace Windu. That's what I thought he was the one who turned bad.
I mean, he is. He is kind of a I don't know. He's a little bit grim. That's a good word, I guess, to use. And he practices Form 7, a variation of it, and maybe, you know, dabbles in not the dark side, but aggression. He definitely uses an aggressive lightsaber form when he's fighting Palpatine. But yes.
Mm-hmm. And talking about Luminara, I had a question for you. Did the Grand Inquisitor use the Force to make her seem alive, or what? How did he do that?
Oh, okay. Real good question. Let me see here what we have, because we have her death.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back up here. Powers and abilities, personality traits, legacy. So during postmortem. So after her death, rumors began to spread that that Master Nduli had survived the Clone Wars and was still alive. Those rumors existed as of 5 BBY, which is where we're at in Rebels. In reality, the Empire used Nduli's remains to lure Jedi survivors into traps so they could be killed, corrupting the Master's memory. Okay. One such trap was laid by the Inquisitors, or the Grand Inquisitor, with Master Luminara still held in the Spire. In an attempt to trick Jedi survivor Kanan Jarrus, who had previously gone by the name Caleb Doom. So now, hold on a second. I wonder if they're... Let's see. Here we go. Okay, so Order 66 and later execution. This is interesting. So, her apprentice, Bare Safi, betrayed the Jedi Order out of anger and its involvement in the Clone Wars. It's something we can go over later, but like that master that you saw, where you're like, okay, was the Force used to kind of conjure her out? Mm-hmm. She had a Padawan, and that Padawan just did her own thing. That's what that says. Okay, so to find solace, she focused her attention on the Wookiees, which had been damaged by the Confederate attacks on the planet Kashyyyk. As she focused on repairing the damages to city and preparing new defenses for it, she ultimately spent months preparing for the coming separatist invasion. During the Outer Rim siege, she served alongside Yoda, Republic forces, and Wookiee warriors during the engagement. So let's see. In the midst of the battle, Palpatine issues Order 66, a command ordering that all clone troopers kill their Jedi commanders. Okay, that was in episode 3, right? So he does that, Order 66, it kills all the Jedi. Unduly evaded the fate that many of her fellow Jedi had, though for years it was believed she had been shot down by her troops on Kashyyyk. In actuality, Master Luminara had been taken into custody by the Empire. The Jedi Order was destroyed, Palpatine declared himself Emperor, and transformed the Republic into the Galactic Empire. After a short time in the prison known as the Spire on Stegan Prime, she was executed in her cell in the presence of the Grand Inquisitor, who then held her remains for the future purpose of the Empire. So, but that still doesn't answer your question exactly. Like, how, she was sitting there, you know, and Kanan could feel her presence, meaning her bones and her remains. But yeah, I was trying to figure out if there was maybe more to it there. Somehow the Force or some projection of her was used to kind of lure them in as
yeah, I don't know if it's a hologram or she walks back to her body and then that looks so in that scene it looks very much like a hologram.
Okay. Yeah, that
when
could
she
be...
yeah, turns her back on the, I don't know what it is, like a container where her body's in, and then she vanishes back into the container, and right before she does, it looks like there's a little disturbance in the
hologram. A glitch.
Well,
that makes a lot of sense. So if they had her in the prison, they would have recorded her moving around the prison cell,
probably,
and they just kept then her kind of remains there, and as she walks in and melts into it, it's just sort of that's a great question though. You know, because the Grand Inquisitor is outside there, and you couldn't probably always have someone who is for. I mean, the Inquisitors have the Force, and they can use it, but maybe they're not always there to kind of do
so there's
something like
Sith.
That. So they are. They're actually former Jedi.
Yeah.
I think the Grand Inquisitor was a former Jedi guard for the Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are Order 66 survivors. Later on, some of them are even like younglings who have been kind of like Padawans who are picked up and and brought in by Palpatine. So it's like, look, you either join the Inquisitor squad or you're executed.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Terrible.
Yeah. So he and they're corrupted. They're turned. Turned by the dark side, turned by Darth Vader, turned by Emperor Palpatine. So the Grand Inquisitor, he's the head of that group. But what was cool in the cell is that he mentions Kanan's master. So this is a whole episode about masters and who could teach and who could do what.
Right.
He notices that Kanan uses Form 3, which is a sort of a defensive form, in close quarter combat. So being right up next to the Inquisitor, he could tell right away, or he thought he had sort of an idea that maybe Kanan's master was Depa Balaba. And he says that, and that like gets to Kanan for a second because he's like, wow. But also, hey, good on him for like using her training and everything.
Yeah.
But he says that he relied on it to a ridiculous degree, like too much.
Mm.
And it kind of maybe shows you that his training was cut short, you know, like how to switch between all the different forms and what he could have done. His potential. He didn't have another master to kind of guide him. He had to learn on his own along the way. So, I think that was kind of tough for Kanan to deal with. But, okay. So, let's skip to that part. Yeah, they fight. They kind of duel for a bit. Ezra is sort of still shooting his energy wrist slingshot situation at the Inquisitor.
Yeah, and the Inquisitor has a sick lightsaber.
What'd you think of that, right? That was kind of funny.
Everyone was impressed by that lightsaber.
They're always laughing, weren't they? That they're like, does yours do that? Yours doesn't do that, does it, Kanan? You know, like, it's just like, it was kind of funny. I'm trying to remember, because it might be important. Let me see if I can find it real quick. What were they? They were the things that Hera shows up with. Remember, they almost look. I almost thought they were Minok at first. They're not.
Oh yeah, the birds.
Yeah, the birds. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they are exactly.
Well, they are. They look like birds. Flying animals. So
yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean that concludes they're birds, but they look like bats or birds.
I'm just looking here real quick to see if I can find it because I wonder if there's more to them. Returns. Don't have it here in front of me. But anyways, they were interesting creatures. If anybody knows what those things were, shoot us an email, and we'd love to kind of talk about them. Because I always think it's cool whenever you have these new like aliens or creatures, you know, in Star Wars. I think that's pretty neat. And I don't remember what those are, but I do know, and I'll tell you this, sweetie, that the creatures or the different species or whatever in Rebels, they actually matter. They are really important. I had mentioned to you the Lothcat, and you saw Lothcat.
Yes.
Right?
In this episode,
which is really cool. We get to see one. So, but they will matter, and we'll have to pay attention. We'll have to kind of comb back here and see, you know, what those are. But it's a part of the rescue. They've picked up on, Sabine has a jammer going, and they're on the same frequency as, they're on the same frequency, and they're almost like, it's like a mating call, essentially, and these things are showing up.
Very attracted to the ship.
Very attracted. And so now they're going to defend the ship, and they go in there, and Hera's able to swoop in and get the whole crew out. It's sort of a pretty straightforward episode. They go in, they try to get Master Luminara. It's a trap. We meet the Inquisitor. We fight our way out, and then, you know, Kanan and Ezra become closer. We get sort of a better connection between master and apprentice.
Minok?
Are they Minok? That's what I thought.
A species of silicon-based bat-like parasites native to the planet Ord Minok.
Mm-hmm. Let me just do a quick, since
first
you said
appeared
that.
In Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They maybe don't not. Really maybe not.
Look like Minok to me, but yeah. It. I don't know. I thought they were maybe giant Minok or something. I'm not actually sure. So that's what was my first thought, but I don't know. Anyway, we'll have to come back. Minok are really cool. I just love the name Minok, and I've always thought it was pretty funny. That drag. Remember, I had that little stuffed plushie, and you were like, "What's that dragon-like creature?"
Oh yeah,
that's a Minok. Now it looks similar to this. They might be related species, like a different type of Minok.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. They do look different.
Yeah, they look. It looks a little different.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, if anyone knows what they are or knows more about them, let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really cool. So also, while we are at it here, I wanted to give a shout out to some of our listeners, some of you guys who have kind of written in here. Andrew's been following along with us. Jordan has been following along with us. Wes also wrote in and really loves that we're doing the Rebels rewatch. And just so you guys know, Lottie reads those. And if anybody else wants to send her any more encouragement, I would love it if you would do that because she gets fired up from that. And it's just cool. Again, this is sort of a new thing that we're doing, and she's getting used to being on the mic and talking and all that good stuff. And it's a lot because, we don't do a lot of editing on this show, so
a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure. You got to get it right. No, I'm kidding. We do edit if we have to, but no, I think it's great. You've done a great job, and everyone's liking it so far. So
thank you.
Cool. That's cool. I think if you guys have thoughts, or if you guys want to, again, doing the rewatch with us is fun. We're gonna be doing it almost daily. So Monday through Friday kind of thing, clear up into the summer, and we're just getting after it. So yes, sweetie, yeah.
Yeah, one last thought about the episode, which I think is very important to discuss. This whole topic about do or don't do something versus trying, and it made me think about Newt Scamander, who says it's important, trying is important, that's what matters, versus they say, no, don't try, but just do it. So what are your thoughts about that? Does that does one contradict the other for you, or what do you think?
Well, it's interesting. So they kind of debate in this. That is, there's so many. So if those are Minok, by the way, and you had the connection to, as I said earlier, in episode 5. So Minok could come from episode 5. That quote, the do or do not, there is no try, comes from episode 5. Mm-hmm. The beginning when Ezra is standing on the ship and all the garbage is being tossed at him is a connection, as I said, a nod to episode 5. So a lot of episode 5 connections, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the idea that do or do not, there is no try, what does that mean? And Kanan says, I don't really know. Yoda used to say it all the time, to just do it. But by doing it, you are trying it. You know what I mean? It's sort of, I think it's like by saying try, it's less of a, you're not putting everything into it that that you maybe could. And that's just really how you, I think, define the word try. Because as you said, Newt Scamander, we just watched The Secrets of Dumbledore, and I love that you make Harry Potter and Wizarding World connections. I know everyone out there also watches all those other different fandoms and stuff, but in that, it's sort of like the message and the theme, the big takeaway from that movie. We're not going to get into spoilers on it if you haven't seen it. But the idea is that you want to try. It's important that we're always trying, that we're striving for, better outcomes, or that we're trying. Even when something is sort of seemingly difficult or impossible, or it's hard to get through to someone or whatever, trying is what matters. Yoda would just say doing is what matters. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just a different use of the word. Try, I think, for... In this episode, it's sort of like, what does it mean to just try? Mm. It's almost like saying doing it is more a powerful thing, like a word that has a stronger connotation, meaning that it carries a little bit like, no, I'm going to do this versus I'm just going to try. I'm going to try.
Maybe
I'm
more like, more like doing it means you will try until you succeed, and trying is just, okay, I tried, but I didn't succeed this time, so that doesn't include that you will keep trying until you do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point. And so the phrase, I think, in from Newt Scamander was that we keep trying.
Yeah.
Keep trying, that you don't stop, and that's what doing is. Doing is something that's continuous, and you're going to keep, you're going to do it.
And trying, like you said, instead of never starting something because you think you can't do it, well, then rather try first, and then doing it is now try until you succeed.
Yeah. It's weird. It's just, I think the way that Yoda, he prioritizes it, or, you know, to do something is just a stronger thing. It's no, you're going to do it. It's the way you talk to yourself. It's the way as a Jedi that you should know, I'm going to do this. This is something I'm going to do. I'm not going to just try. Right. I'm going to do it. But you it just depends on if you think that telling yourself, like, you've got to keep trying, you've got to keep going, you've got to keep whatever, that's still a good thing. And those are all things we should be saying. They're all positive.
Yeah.
It's just that I think they prioritize doing it as, you know.
Right. And that's more. It's almost a form of visualizing yourself that you've already done it. Mm-hmm. And people say that helps a lot when you were trying to do something to visualize you've already done it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the do or do not, you know, so it's, again, it's just sort of like you either do or you don't. You either, so Luke is either going to raise the ship or he's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the way Yoda just sort of, you have to almost get kind of black and white with it and just, just approach it. Now, is there some in between there? And did he, could he have gotten the ship halfway to shore or raised it halfway up? Sure. But ultimately he fails.
He doesn't
succeed. So either it's like crossing the finish line type of talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like don't just participate in a race, see it through, run the race all the way, do it all like completely. So. Yeah, cool. I forgot about that connection to episode 5. So there's a lot. There's a lot of connections in this episode to episode 5, which is cool. And actually, in episode 5, they're seeking out an old master named Yoda. That's the whole point. In the beginning, seek Yoda. Obi-Wan says to Luke to seek an old master, and this is called the Rise of the Old Masters.
Yeah. So. And isn't this, this is episode 5 of Rebels.
So yeah, it's episode 5. What the heck? Why did I not, like... Oh, that's awesome. That's a really cool, layers that I didn't realize were there. So, really cool. All right, friends. Well, I think, we're right there at time. We like to keep these kind of relatively short so we can just keep knocking them out. And we'll be back again next time with episode 6. It's just great.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun today.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Good episode.
Yes. So, friends, don't forget you can follow Lottie over at Charlotte Sue. She has also, I'm going to put her link tree down below. And again, I mentioned the Shell Cottage Radio, Fleur and Bill YouTube page, all that kind of stuff. She's working on different things, working on some ambient stuff. More on that later. But I love it. I love that she is. You're doing it right. You're going after it. And by the way, reach out to us and reach out to her, because we really do enjoy kind of hyping people, their projects, whatever you want to do. Getting excited about life and getting excited about your fandom and just in general. It's one of the things that I'm missing about going to Star Wars Celebration. Like, I want to go so I can, like, talk to people and hype and just, I don't know. I say surround yourself with positive people if you can, people who are like-minded, and just, it's just a lot of fun. So, yeah, I want people to reach out and encourage her, and then we will encourage you guys as well. So, but yeah, that's at Charlotte Sue, and you can follow me at WompRat_2M. Friends, we will be back and continue the Rebels rewatch. As always, thank you for listening, thank you for watching, and may the Force be with you.
Tschüssi!
Hey friends, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us that review, check out our extra episodes on Patreon and Apple Premium. This is the way.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.